Always going for the lowest price can be an expensive strategy. Public procurement, when used strategically, can accelerate the climate transition, drive innovation, and enhance business competitiveness. But are today's procurement frameworks suited to tomorrow's challenges? How can public purchasers move beyond purely looking for the lowest price to getting real life cycle value out of their investments? Today, we have procurement expert Carl Jonasson Kolberg from the City of Stockholm's City Development Department here. Carl is leading a revolution in how the city negotiates procurement projects, developing a model where parameters such as life cycle benefits, emissions, experience, innovations, and delivery are considered alongside costs. Carl is joined in the studio by Magnus Persson, CEO of Skanska Sweden, with a long history working with public sector customers. Magnus discusses how successful projects demonstrate how seeing the big picture is producing great results. Magnus and Carl, thank you very much for being here on Shaping Sustainable Places. Can we start? Why is procurement such an important issue? And right now, can we start with you, Carl?
I think there's several layers to this. One fairly basic one is financial. There are hundreds of billions of euros in the EU and similarly hundreds of billions of dollars in the United States. So it's a massive part of the economy. And also, I think on a more sort of esoteric or philosophical level, the public procurement is a really big part of seeing your government, your city, your regional authority, what it's doing for you. So if it's not done right, you lose trust in institutions. So I think it does too. It's a matter of money and it's a matter of trust.
And Magnus, why are we talking about procurement right now? It's a really hot topic.
Yeah, it is. And I agree with Carl. We are in a situation where we see a rapid change. We are driving a transition when it comes to digitalization, when it comes to the climate. And we need to do that in a fast way. And we see that in construction industry, the public procurement is underused, I would say, as a tool. It can drive innovation in a different way than it's done today by having a early and strategically clear public procurement, I would say.
I'm bound to agree with that. It goes back, I think, to something you're saying when we're talking about you being early involved as a contractor in the public building sort of process. And that, I think, is also something which feeds back into why procurement is important to talk about now. You said it was a tool, right? And that's true. So I'm a civil servant, and that sort of entails a duty towards the public to achieve the public good, in essence. Mm. And when we're talking construction, as you say, we're trying to digitize, handle climate change, we're trying to prevent criminal actors in the construction business, we're trying to increase productivity, because this business, we know, I feel all in this room, we could definitely be more productive than we are. And doing all that requires expertise. And that, I think, is what you want to look at in public procurement. You need to procure expertise. And that traditionally isn't necessarily what you've been doing.
Yeah. I think we need to see procurement that is done in a more brave way to utilize what is the competence in the market. What can we do? And I look forward to see more of those examples where we really try to get out the best competence in the market and use that to develop the construction industry when it comes to building in a more sustainable way, when it comes to driving productivity, finding new methods of working. And I think that public procurement can be a great tool to drive Swedish and European competitiveness in the future.
What's it going to take for us to seize these opportunities? I mean, paradigm shift is an overused term, but it seems like we actually have to start thinking in a different way.
Yeah, I think we need to continue to showcase the good experience that we have where public procurement is driving the change in inviting the contractors earlier in a competitive dialogue and so forth in order to develop better projects. We have examples here in Stockholm together with the City of Stockholm where in the meatpacking district where we, through competitive dialogue, actually have delivered a number of projects where we drive sustainability in a good way. We drive fossil-free construction sites, electrical vehicles in a very strong way. And I see those projects has actually been at the same cost level of the budget. So sometimes you think that driving innovation drives cost in the contracts, but having the right procurement model, it doesn't have to do that. We see that we can deliver together in a good way.
Yeah, and I think cost is a very interesting part to hold on to, because in traditional procurement, you have what you want and you have the costs, and you treat them sort of like separate entities. But you have to realize that the cost, the functionality, the sustainability, they are all part of the same entity. They're part of the project. And what I like to do is that I like to make it your problem. Could you do some construction for me? And you say, yes, I can. Then I'll also like to tell you, and this is the amount of money you can spend. Because then you're going to have to look at that, and you're going to have to bring all your colleagues, all the people with the expertise. Oh, right, oh, can we make this cheaper? What if we switch that material? We get the input of the people who are going to build it. The innovation then becomes, oh, we don't have that much money. How are we going to deliver this without paying too much? Well, we're going to have to innovate, because we can't do it the way we've usually done, because we can't afford it. So then the cost feeds the innovation.
I fully agree. And this is what we want to do. I mean, we have knowledge and experience that this, in this type of contracts, we get in early. We have the possibility to take not only the team's experience, but the experience from other Skanska products into the project, and make sure that we create as much customer value as possible for the invested public Swedish krona. And that drives focus on productivity, that drives focus on sustainability, and that drives a good development of the construction industry.
Now, that's interesting in many ways, because when we're talking about competition in the market, I also think it's important to look at those kinds of things. Because, sure, there are going to be contracts that we do, small contracts, where that kind of thing is just very expensive overhead. It's not really needed. But when we're doing complicated things, that is going to have to be, I think, in the future, a competitive edge. And for me then, as a procurement officer, the important thing becomes, how do I get to that in evaluation? And you can do that in several ways. I mean, we have a contract with you currently for one of our major development projects in Stockholm. You won that contract by lifting what you just mentioned. We as Skanska, we know you want to do innovation in this contract. That's important to you. And we have this network of people. We can bring that back to you and provide that full innovation experience to this contract. And I think that's also going to be an important part, particularly for bigger construction companies. That is going to have, I feel, to be the competitive edge for bigger projects.
I think you're right, because I think the large and complex projects need that type of early involvement in order to solve the problems in a good way. At the same time, I see that those mid-sized projects as well, they also actually benefit from having a better procurement than going for the lowest initial price. Sometimes I hear that you will not get the competition that you need if you do not procure on the lowest initial price. And I think that is underestimating our mid-sized and small contractors. They are smart. They will see and they will adapt when the situation is changing in how to win contracts. Okay, maybe the biggest company have a competitive advantage in the first one or two, but then they are up and running. They have the competence in order to compete.
And I agree, and we see that. I mean, electrification is a good example of that. We did the first partially electrified construction contract in Stockholm in Slakthusområdet, with USA, the contractor. But we see that now, a few years on, that we have rather small construction companies go, sure, I'll bring an electric excavator, no problem. Mm-hmm. I very much see what you're describing, and that small construction companies are a part of this. And also another thing that I want to pick up that you said, this fear of not getting the right competition. What is the right competition? When you are doing a competition for the lowest price, what sort of sport are we involved in? What is, how do you win that? Well, usually you win that by finding the holes in our contracts, the thing we missed. But that's not what you want. So the right competition has to be competing about delivering the best solution that we actually need. And that, as you say, that is not the lowest initial cost. That is the most sustainable construction project, and it's the best total cost of ownership for the city, for the taxpayer. And that, to me, becomes a different way of looking at the right competition. And if a company can't compete on those grounds, well, to my mind, I would prefer that company be the loser in the capitalist system and go out of business, because that is not the business anybody really needs.
Mm. And there is another thing shifting from lowest initial price focus. I think that is being a business that is looking for our future employees in the business, the young generation. They want to see a more collaborative way of working. They want to focus on creating good, sustainable products. And the lowest initial price, that focus on less risk taking, that focus on finding, as you said, Carl, finding the holes in the contract in order to be profitable. And that does not develop the business. Mm. So the young generation, they want to play this sport in a different way.
Mm.
And we need to have that set up instead in order to develop the industry.
We identified very clearly that always just going for the lowest initial price is not the way to go these days. But I'd like us to look at some of the other parameters that we're talking about here and how we're working with them. I'm thinking areas like circularity, opening up land, responsible use of land, brownfield developments and so on and so forth. What are the other parameters that we're looking at here? Can we start with you, Carl?
So we're looking at circularity you mentioned. In those kinds of things, I think it's important for us to think differently because usually we buy straight from a contractor, and then the contractor has to get all the material. In circularity, we as a public entity probably have to take a larger role. Maybe we have to buy and provide the materials for you, so we can also make sure that we're buying something sustainable. I think something that's actually also very important to deal with in the current climate in the world is unserious actors in the business. And you'll see that in construction. You'll have these sort of low-down sort of companies working, not for you, but they're working for someone who's working for someone who's working for someone who's working for you. And they will have sort of criminal connections. They'll do shady business sort of practices. So I think that's also a very important part for us to look at now, because these things are interconnected. And when you do procurement, that's what you find. So we were talking a bit before the recording. I said we have this one project we're doing who's one of our first, well, actually our first fully electrified site. And we went for the electrification because electrification is important, but also an added bonus was for us that we knew this is a complicated area and we wanted someone who was going to be very serious and engaged in this. So when we bring in sustainability, in that case, electrification, you would also attract the contractors who want to build the future, be in the hope business, if you will. And I think that's an important focus too. You have to treat these sustainability things like an integrated whole, because when you improve one, it usually has positive effects on the other parts of sustainability and cost.
Mm. Magnus?
Yeah, I would say that sustainability is a very wide scope to take care of, as Carl recognized. I think the important thing is also to go from a short-term focus to a long-term focus, more focus on life cycle cost, total cost of ownership. So I think that's important to have a more long-term view on the investment. I think that's a better way of spending tax money.
Yeah. We all, I think, here agree that these things are good, but well, what does that mean if we're going to get down to business, procurement business? We want these things. We want TCO, we want all of these things. How do we ask for that?
TCO, total cost of
ownership. Cost of ownership, yeah. Yep. How do we ask for that? Well, you can create very complicated mathematical models. That is the engineering way, but that's really hard because then we get back to the problem. Well, then we, City of Stockholm, civil servants, have to sort of figure out a way to do a mathematically functioning principle of how the 100-year long ownership period of a new public square is going to be calculated on day one. It's possible, I'm sure, but it's quite hard. So what I find you have to do is that you instead have to look at indicators which are likely to indicate that you're going to get a total cost of ownership. And for procurement, I think that is what you sort of have to try to do, because then you're not doing math anymore, you're doing reasoning. Are these things likely to indicate that we are going to be able to achieve a good value for the taxpayer through total cost of ownership? And I feel more and more that procurement for me becomes about finding these indicators. And lowest price, of course, isn't necessarily that good indicator, but something else might be, as I said, for instance, capacity to work with electrified machinery or a good program to vet subcontractors for crime or similar such things.
Well, at the same time, I see, Carl, that in these projects where we focus on long-term, where we focus on securing the best value for the taxpayers' money, we do not only get the best value for that project, we actually develop the industry. This is the project where we innovate. This is the project where we develop new methods, that we try new materials. So lowest bid is known methods, business as usual, and that does not drive the construction industry into the future, where we long-term will get even more value for spent taxpayers' money because we develop the industry and become more productive. And
hopefully also you'll get more value for your shareholders.
Yeah, and it goes hand in hand. I mean, the public needs to have a good economy. So have to have taxpayers need to work in a good way in order for us to be successful and win new contracts. So it's driving a better society is also driving a better possibility for us.
And of course for us, I mean, there's an integrated system, and that's important to understand. And so we have to give the incentives for you to be the construction companies we want. What we want has to be good business, not just good public management. Mm.
And I think it's important to continue to spread good examples. I think that that's one of the keys. And we talked about Meatpacking District, where we work together to secure emission-free sites, which has been very successful. But we also have Västerängsskolan in Nybro, where early contractor involvement procurement, where we actually was successful in both delivering that project 15% under budget at the same time as we had a very low carbon footprint in that project, 60% of the normal case, I would say.
I think there's something that when we were looking at these other parameters, we're talking about sustainability, we're talking about innovation, and they're not just for innovation's sake. I mean, we're innovating because we want to be more efficient. And when you're more efficient, that's going to reduce the environmental impact and so on. But also the way you were describing it, there's a real multiplier effect from this innovation. You were talking, Magnus, about how it benefits the entire industry, which benefits the entire ecosystem, benefits the customers as well, because they're going to get better construction projects and so on. So it's interesting to see how it all, I hate to say it, builds on each other. One other thing that I thought was very clear in what you were talking about just now is that, okay, we're not talking about the lowest initial cost, but the recurring theme was long-term costs, reducing the long-term total cost of ownership. And that's got to be, I mean, we don't build something for 5 years usually. We're building something, as you said, Carl, for 50, 100 years.
Yes, we do. And you have to, I feel, remember that why we need to have a better, more sustainable construction business is because we need to build things for people to actually feel like things are improving. And I think construction is a very big part of it because it's so visible. A big, shiny new bridge, that's a way to show we can achieve things as a society. A new, beautiful park where you can let your children out. A new home where you can actually live, raise your family. That is a very physical manifestation of believing in the future. And the construction business is underachieving in this at the moment, to me.
I agree. We need a long-term focus, definitely, in what we are building together with our clients. At the same time, we are standing right now in front of a huge investment that is needed. We have infrastructure that is not up to date. We need to spend more money on maintenance, so we are not able to invest as much as we need in the infrastructure. But it's needed due to the climate changes that we see, due to the fact that we need to create a more competitive industry in Sweden, due to the fact the geopolitical issues that we have. We have become a NATO member. We need to live up to that membership. We need to invest a lot in infrastructure going forward. Not only invest, we need to get that infrastructure in place. And in order to drive new ideas on how to get things in, start earlier and get them built in a shorter time, we need innovation. We need to use all the competence that is out there in the market. There, I would say public procurement can play a super important role in order to achieve this.
Carl, I've heard that there's a lot of interest in what you're doing from other cities. How are you talking with them about your experiences and exchanging information?
Well, we mentioned the term competitive dialogue. It's a particular kind of procurement method. It's available in the EU. It's part of the EU joint procurement legislation, which we've been using. So a lot of EU countries have been interested about how we've been doing this model of procurement. It's you select a number of contractors who we evaluate on the likelihood that they will be a good dialogue partner, and then we have a dialogue about how we should carry out the particular contract in question, and then the contractors who've been involved in this dialogue, then they get to bid on it. This is a big interest in it because what we're talking about now is what many public procurement people want to do, but they're sort of struggling for how to do it. In a Swedish context, we're the capital, we're the biggest city, so it's natural perhaps to turn to us because if we've done it, it feels a little bit safer. You get to that. Oh, it's been done. Oh, well, then we could actually do that.
Yeah, it's important to talk about these successful examples.
Exactly.
I would say. And I see that in Sweden, a lot of the other cities, municipalities, they have visited the meatpacking district to understand not only what is delivered there, but also how is it procured and how is the setup. But we also see internationally that this is spreading. Oslo, for instance, is an early adopter when it comes to electrification. But we also see other good examples where together with a municipality, Lindesnes, in Norway, where we are developing care centers and health buildings with a very low energy performance, actually, that over the time, that building creates more energy than the operation needs. So it's plus energy buildings. And that's not done by lowest bid. That's done with a competitive dialogue in order to find the right solutions to develop the project from the start.
You need a good dance partner if you want to do a good dance.
Yeah,
exactly. And the findings from them. I mean, that is what is developing in the industry. Those lessons learned will not only be taken further on by the client and the contractor. There are a lot of other consultants and partners that are involved. So it's spreading to new projects, new ideas early on. So driving this will develop the business in a good way going forward. So it's the courage, it's the openness and trust that is needed.
As we're starting to wrap up, we've been talking very much about things that are happening here and now. But crystal ball time, where do we think we're going to be in 10 years? Will all procurement be done this way? Carl?
No, it's never that easy. But I think we're going to have a much larger percentage of procurement done this sort of way, in sort of dialogue-based. We see that expanding just in the city of Stockholm. I have a colleague called Therese Sundström at our sister administration, traffic administration. She's been using these sorts of procurement methods very successfully. Procurement officer of the year, I might add. We can see it in other parts of Sweden and also other parts of Europe. These kinds of methods are very much used in the Netherlands. The Dutch are way ahead on these things. And it's basically something that's going to be necessary. You can't not go this way if you want to achieve the sort of goals you mentioned, the sort of the NATO infrastructure, housing goals, climate goals. But I think you're going to have other methods too. And if we're doing crystal ball, I think another thing which is going to be important is to do climate calculations where you assign a set price for CO2 so you can actually do lowest bid including CO2. So that's something else that you can do which doesn't necessarily need to be dialogue-based, even though I think dialogue will add to that as well. And I think we're going to have a much more sustainable sector. Hopefully we're going to cut down on crime, cut on costs, build differently. And to my mind, I'm confident we'll be more or less fully electrified in 10 years. It'll just be the cheapest, best option by then.
When it comes to public procurement and procuring in a different way with more dialogue, I think it will be wider spread then. It will not be 100%, but because it's needed to drive the change. It's mostly needed in the most complex projects where you understand the scope that you need. You can, of course, still procure in a way where you would go lowest price. But also that procurement will have taken benefit from the innovation, the new methods that are developed in the other type of contracts. I think we will continue to form and change the regulations in order to be more sustainable in the way we deliver our construction projects in the future and the way we procure the projects in the future. I think today's regulation is not sufficient for the future. So we need to change those in time as well. But that is done in a collaboration together with the market and the understanding. How can we get the best out of the competence in the market? And how can we use each other's competence in order to innovate and develop the construction industry? Mm.
Yeah, work in progress. Watch this space.
Yeah.
Magnus Persson, Carl Johansson Colberg, thank you both very much for being on Shaping Sustainable Places.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you.
Today, Carl Johansson Colberg from the City of Stockholm showed us how strategic public procurement goes beyond the lowest price to building public trust and driving innovation. Magnus Persson from Skanska Sweden reinforced this, highlighting how such an approach fosters collaboration, helping the industry develop and attract the talent needed for a truly sustainable future. Thanks for joining us for this episode of Shaping Sustainable Places. Follow us on your favorite podcast platform so you don't miss out next time. And please reach out if you want to comment on something we discuss. You can mail us at podcast@skanska.com or comment via our Skanska Group LinkedIn account. Until next time, I'm John Ambrose, and this is Shaping Sustainable Places.